The Justin Robert Young Podcast is brought to you, as always, by Stickers or DIAF. We've got a new sticker bag launching this weekend. So make sure that you head on over to Stickers or DIAF.com this weekend. It is, for the first time, I can tell you, the meme pack. Yes, 5 new stickers, all based on popular memes, both within and without the Diamond Club community. I just got them in yesterday. They are so awesome. I am very, 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 very excited to show you guys what they are, as well as get them out to you. So make sure you follow me at Justin R. Young on Twitter. I'm going to be showing you guys all the designs this week, and they go on sale this Friday. $20 pack gets you everything, including refills on some of the old stickers, or for the first time if you never got them. And the $5 pack will get you all the new stickers. So go ahead and check it out. Stickers or DIAF, new stickers launching this weekend. And by patreon.com/JURY is where you can support not only this show, but also our One Mic Politics show, Politics, Politics, Politics. I am very excited for everybody to have supported us, man. You guys are the best. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Patreon.com/JURY. But enough of talking about how we support the show. What do you say we just do the damn thing?
Ugly ain't the half, look at you. Well, you got blue teeth and you only got 2 teeth, but I kinda like to see you smile. And it appears that over the years you've turned into a big old steaming pile. And she said, yeah, I know I ain't no supermodel. I said, you ain't a hand model, baby, but that's fine. You're pretty ugly by most people's standards, but you're all right by mine.
Oh, big shout out to the Possum Posse, Jomo and the Jomo and Dem Boys, including my homie, Ruthless Chris Steakhouse. I am so excited to be here, fresh off South by Southwest. We did a live night attack, including a live performance by the Possum Posse and Dual Core. Had a great time, man. Wound up Saturday night, just drunk. I think I got kicked out of a bar. Before that, I was hanging with Dual Core. You know, all over the map, man. All over the map. It was great. Played some Jenga. It was good, man. Good weekend. Thank you to everybody who came out and said hello. Speaking of the sticker packs, by the way, the $20 packs are still going to come with Jury Buys You a Drink tokens. And if what happens at Nerdtacular and all of our other live events is anything like what happened at South by Southwest, I'm going under. I'm going under on this because everybody, I got probably maybe 15 tokens run on me at South by Southwest. I'm sure I'm going to get much more at Nerdtacular. So go ahead and make sure that you fleece me of any and all money that I have by buying the $20 sticker pack when they launch with the new stickers at the end of the week. A lot of stuff to get to. We've got snow blanketing the East Coast. I'm going to give you guys my steadfast warning on snow a little bit later. I'm going to broach a topic that would probably get me fired if I worked anywhere, and will probably prevent me from working anywhere that does any semblance of a background check. We're going to talk about race. We're going to talk about reparations. But I think I might have solved reparations. So, where do we start? Let's start with something else that's a little bit controversial. I do not know personally, which is to say that I've never met Colin Moriarty of Kinda Funny face to face. At least I don't think. If I did, it was in a very casual setting for which I'm sure he does not know who the hell I am. And I know him by reputation and through mutual friends. The only communication that I've had with Colin Moriarty is I sent him, through him, to the Kinda Funny Games people a copy of The Contender, which they eventually played on their show. And I was very happy that they did. Which is to say that I don't really have a whole lot of personal opinion on the man that is Colin Moriarty of Kinda Funny Games. However, I do have opinions on this tweet that he made. If you're unfamiliar, Kinda Funny is a fascinating, nay, I say, inspiring story. Bunch of guys that were part of a larger entity at IGN decided to split off, you know, figured out through Patreon that they'd be able to make their own content. And to my cursory research, they've got, I think, two of the top five Patreons on the entire platform. Like, that's huge. I mean, like, I feel like hot shit because between Daily Tech News Show, Night Attack, and Jury, I've got three in the top 100. They got two in the top five, okay? Like, that is big money. That's huge. That's gigantic. It is, to my knowledge, and I'm not going to profess to be an expert on them. I know enough to be impressed, but I don't really know the ins and outs. Based on what I know, there are four guys split off. The biggest two are Greg and Colin. Game over Greggy and Colin Moriarty. They seem to be, correct me if I'm wrong for people who are fans of them, they seem to be the biggest two personalities of the four. So, I have followed Colin at No Taxation since I sent him The Contender. I just wanted to get a sense of who I was sending it to, and if I wound up talking with him, I'd like to have some kind of familiarity with what he did. So this is the tweet that I saw on International Women's Day, which for those of you who are not following, that happened last week. And it was coincided, or it did coincide, with the Day Without Women. It was a protest to demonstrate exactly how important women are to society, that it encouraged women to strike. So all of a sudden, everybody would understand how much women are a part of our society. So this is his tweet. Ah, peace and quiet. Hashtag a day without women. That's the tweet. So where do we start with this? Because I think that there's a couple different layers, and they're all very, very interesting to me. Personally, they're interesting to me. And this is coming from someone that doesn't really follow. The only full episode of their show that I watched was the one where they played the game. So I know that seem to be very, very nice guys amongst our mutual friends. I ain't got no reason to think anything ill of them. And they were nice enough to plug the game. They are aces in my book. But as soon as I saw this, I knew he was going to get in trouble. I knew that this was going to be something that, you know, was gonna be a problem, because there are really two levels to this. there is there's the comedic argument, and then, well, no, you want to know what? Right now, let's just speak. Let's speak to the comedic argument, because that was immediately the reply. The pushback was, it's an obvious joke, which it is an obvious joke. I mean, I don't think that, you know, even if you are to say that it is mean and gross and weird, it is still a joke. I don't think that that's the argument. The comedic argument to be made is time and place. What's the greatest tool in a comedian's chest? Timing. The reason why that is because something that is said at the wrong time, even if it is exactly what you would have said a half second later, can be infinitely less funny if you do not place it in the right moment. Context in all communication is key. And in comedy, it is that much more. Now, there is the old adage that you can say whatever you want as long as it's funny enough. Louis C.K., who is about as white can get, despite the fact that he's Mexican, that's always a funny thing about him, says the N-word on stage. And people love him. Love him. People find him to be a force of progressive change. And yet he's up on stage yelling the N-word in a way that very, very, very few white people writ large can do. Why? Well, on one hand, he's telling jokes that are funny enough, and so you get a tremendous license. Number two, it is my opinion when it comes to controversial humor. And now when I say controversial humor, what I mean is humor that can easily be misinterpreted, or in which you are playing a character or portraying a point of view to the point of parody that people find objectionable. There are a few key rules to controversial humor, in my opinion. Here's rule number one. You need to be smarter about that subject than anybody who's going to criticize you. How do you define that? Here's how. You have to be able to have a reasonable discussion with those who want to criticize you to the point where the other side gets bored. Because nobody will say, oh, you're making a point that you want to make, and now you are talking about it too much in a reasonable way that brings education. I hate you. That doesn't happen. Why does South Park get to get away with a lot of stuff? Well, number one, they're funny enough to do it. Number two, who wants to go after South Park? And number three, because they seem to be, they project that they know a lot. A lot of their jokes are based on larger contextual issues at the core of the stuff that they are deconstructing. South Park also always does this little wormhole cop-out where they'll have something that's very controversial at the top and then have it veer so far into weird fantasy that by the end of it, you can't really say that they have made a point one way or another. They've danced on top of all these points, but then they've made it into something so bizarre and so ridiculous that what are you going to do? Criticize them? So there's that element, the comedic element. And IMO, you know, gambling man in the chat says another bit of context. He told his girlfriend the joke. She gave him the okay. He tweeted it. That's cool, man. But ultimately, the proof is in the pudding. And this became a big brouhaha. The other members of the Kinda Funny group had to address it. He wound up getting left off a trip to PAX East where they had a big panel. And then on Monday, he announced that he was leaving Kind of Funny, effective immediately. Which is where we get to the issues that I find very interesting. Here's something I wonder. You think he still gets a cut on that Patreon money? I wonder. You know, he's a founding member. They probably, you know, this is a large entity, man. It is a company that employs a bunch of people now. Gambling man in the chat, who's probably following this a lot more than me, says that he gave away everything to leave. Man. That's interesting. That's interesting to me. Because I don't know how I would handle it. I would probably handle it like that. I would probably leave if I left Night Attack in a swirl of controversy. I would probably leave giving away everything too. So this is not a point of criticism. This is literally just something that is on my brain as I watch this. And I'm like, hey, you know, Patreon is not just some silly thing that the kids are doing, right? This is how I pay my rent. I'm sure it's how he pays his rent. I'm sure that there are a million different things that are done. Empires, they have built an empire out there. When I say that they are inspiring, I mean it. I mean it. They have done a lot with a little bit, man. They have harnessed an audience that is huge. Here's how big their audience is. Their audience includes my friends from high school that don't listen to my shit. I got, all of a sudden, the most famous I've been to my friends has been when Contenders showed up on the Game Over Greggy show, and all of a sudden I got my friends, one of my best friends from high school. I was a groomsman in his wedding, and he's like, hey man, how do you know them? What's up with that? Like, they're big, they're huge, they're gigantic. So, it is curious to me. I'm just saying it's an interesting question. And I think we're rapidly getting to the point where people are going to start looking at these Patreons for these media empires and say, hey, even if I leave, like, I'm not saying I want 50%, but I'll negotiate 5%. I'll negotiate 2%. I'll negotiate 3% because I'm not here, just because I'm not doing the current product, doesn't mean that I didn't start this. I mean, I started this gangster shit, and this the motherfucking thanks I get? I'm curious. Because I don't know how many more times this happens. I mean, like, listen, you know, and it's a hard subject to talk about, you know? It's nobody likes to talk about money, especially amongst friends. Man, it sucks. It blows. It's awful. It's part of the reason why I stopped working with friends in general. It's part of the reason why I didn't want to do Patreon initially with Night Attack, is because I was scarred by the fact that asking for money from friends is one of the most horrible things that in the world to me. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. I don't like it at all. It is no good. Very bad for me. I don't like it. However, there are a lot of startups in this town, in this Bay Area.
Bay Area!
There are a lot of startups that are not as profitable as Night Attack, or is not as profitable as Jury, let alone kind of funny. And if a founder leaves, he still has shares. If that IPOs, if that continues to make money, he's still owed money out of there. Like, that just doesn't go away unless he negotiates a buyout, which is another interesting thing. You know, if he says, okay, well, I'm not going to ask for anything going out the door, but, you know, be a lot easier if I just got a lump sum payment. Be a lot easier to go to sleep if I could slip a couple stacks in this pillowcase. It'd be a lot easier to cry my tears if I was doing it on the shoulder of Mr. Benjamin Franklin. Oh, Benny. Okay, so Gambling Man says that he's claiming that he's selling his shares. So that's interesting. I'm curious to follow that. I'm curious to follow it. Because I think this is new media. And I don't mean new media like podcasts and YouTube. I mean, these are media companies. I am a media company. They are a bigger, far bigger media company. Night Attack is a media company. Like, in every instance, we are probably making around the same as a small community newspaper or radio station for doing this all by ourselves. So I don't know what would happen for me. I mean, I don't know with Jury. I don't know how I would split my shares there. I don't know if, like, you know, Captain Morgan leaves the Jury program if he gets shares, if I have to pay out Captain Morgan. Oh, you better, you piece of shit. God damn it. So that's the Colin Moriarty thing. I find it fascinating. I think it's very curious. I mean, listen, everybody down here, I can keep the Ad Dragon shares. Dr. Bird's a majority owner. Gambling Man will give all the shares to Dr. Bird. Mahoy, give me my money, you piece of garbage. I think it's interesting. I think it's something curious that you're going to want to keep watching, because this is it, man. This is the new way to do it. All right. So anyway, from something that got somebody else in trouble, let me talk about something that'll probably get me in trouble. I was listening to one of my favorite radio shows, Dan Le Batard's show with Stu Gatz on ESPN Radio. Started listening to the Dan Le Batard show because I moved from South Florida to California, and despite the fact that I had never in my life to listen to Florida Sports Talk Radio, I decided to start listening to Florida Sports Talk Radio as soon as I moved out here. It was like I was homesick. I needed just somebody to, you know, talk about highways that I used to drive on. They wound up going national. It's a bigger show. It's a better show. I enjoy the show. I like it a lot. This morning they were playing some clips from the local basketball team. Andre Iguodala made some comments using the N-word and making racially charged statements about slavery. They started talking about who can and can't use the N-word, but it brought me to this line of thought. We have long talked in this country, and it has become a controversial issue, on reparations, considering what happened to the slave-owned population of the United States and the descendants therein, not to mention some of the systematic racial discrimination, bigotry that happened within the specter of the law, that the question becomes, do black folk in America deserve or are they owed reparations? And if yes, how much? This is not a conversation that I want to get in, but it is the primer to the conversation that I want to get to. Because it appears to me that there is a leverage point for Black America. A leverage point. And that leverage point is the N-word. Now, hear me out, all right? I want any and all, this is a two-way dialogue, okay? I want a question, just a general question, on whether or not from Black listeners that this is something that is for sale, and if so, how much? And from non-Black listeners, specifically white listeners, if it is for sale, are you willing to pay the price? The ability to say the N-word. Now, we can tier this out. We can say, all right, at this recurring payment per month, you are just allowed to repeat rap songs. Okay. That's the base level, right? Just repeat the full text of, you know, Black poetry from the 60s. Just that, right? Maybe further up, you're even allowed to say it in a darker context. Whatever. Here's what I'm asking. Black listeners, if this was on Patreon, the N-word Patreon, you're allowed to say it. Congratulations, white America. You can now buy your way. It is the fast pass to the thing you've wanted to say in public forever. Now you're allowed to do it with the blessing from the community. What is that price? What is the price to sell it? What is the price to buy it? That's my question. I don't know whether or not it's on there. I don't know whether or not it is sellable. Might not be. I'm just asking. So a lot of people say they don't want it. J.C. Calhoun says, do not want. I mean, it's not for everybody. Daniel J. Newman says, the first time I saw the N-word was in a classroom reading of Tom Sawyer. I mean, probably more prominently featured in Huck Finn, right? Man, everybody got so uncomfortable all of a sudden. That chat room just hit a brick wall. Apparently nobody wants to talk about this. And now iPhone 6 reviews. I mean, but like, all right, let me just ask you this. It seems like a weird American fascination. Everyone's running from this as fast as possible. I'm just saying, if this were on sale, it would sell. Please don't anybody act like it would not. And I'm saying if anybody could and should sell it, and profit from it, it should be Black people, right? All right. Apparently nobody wants to talk about this. Mr. Anyone says, probably is. The people who care about whether or not Black people are comfortable with white people saying the N-word aren't people who use the N-word, and people who want to use the N-word don't care about whether Black people want to approve of it. I'm just saying. Like, there seems to be a market. People seem to like talking about it. It's a part of pop culture. And I'm fine with there being lines of what white people can and cannot say. I'm fine with that. Like, I understand the lines. I'm just saying. I'm not, BioCo says jury selling in the chat room isn't buying. I mean, We can all be uncomfortable about it. That's fine. I'm just saying, don't deny the concept that it would sell. Because I think it would. Jeremy Lundy says, maybe tweet it out and see how many people think it's a joke. Oh, man. And then I have to leave my own show. Von Hunting Tate, I'd like to hear the NPR announcing what the closing price of the N-word is every day. 9 of 12 says the idea of buying it creates a whole level of morality involvement doesn't seem like a solution. I'm not saying it's a solution. I am not saying it's a solution. I am saying that we live in an ugly, imperfect world filled with bigotry and awfulness. But you want to know what? If that world is going to exist, I guess I'd just kind of like, you know, a couple more bucks going into the pockets of people for whom have had to be, you know, lashed under this the yoke of this, right? That have suffered from it. I'd prefer that. That's just an idea. All right. Maybe you could just sell it as insurance to rich celebrities. So if there's ever that, if there's ever a leak, they're covered. Yeah, I mean, I'll tell you what. I'm maybe that one isn't so popular. You know, it turns out people are made uncomfortable with racial topics. Huh? Good to know. Moving on. Hey, what about a? Now let me get into why whiteouts are terrible. Snow. Man, I don't like snow. I don't like it, man. See here, hold on. Ninja Steve says maybe it's a fine. Every time a white person says the N-word, they have to pay the fine and the money goes to reparations. See, why are, you know, this is, now we're in the conversation. I'm just trying to find a way that some of this money can go to black folks. That's all I'm saying. Snow, let's talk about it. A licky boom boom down. Snow is covering the East Coast. It threatened to take out Boston, D.C., and New York. Turns out it's going to be less than it was initially expected, but it brings me to my larger point. It's March 14th. The hell is snow doing around here? This is a persistent menace. A persistent menace that runs through this country, nay, around the world. And I'm not saying we can stop it, but I'm saying you can do better. Yes, you, the snow-faring population of the world, you can do better. Folks, there's a better way. You don't have to live amongst the snow. You can live a healthier life. You can live longer. You can live happier. Your wife, your husband, your sons, your daughters can live happier lives if you live away from the snow. You don't need to have wet socks. You don't need to have cabin fever. You don't need to have your tires go skidding off into the side of the highway. You don't need to salt the roads. You don't need tire chains. You don't need it. Folks, it is something that is an undue burden on your life, and I, your friend, Justin Robert Young, am trying to tell you to be free. Because, and this is what always gets me in trouble, but I'm going to say it because I believe it. If you live in snow, you're a masochist, and if you're raising children in snow, you are perpetuating a cycle of violence. QJ19 in the chat says, spoken like a true Southerner. All right. No, that's true. That's true. You want to know what? I have lived most of my life in the Sun Belt. I was born in Texas, moved to South California, San Diego to be specific, and then raised the majority of my life in Florida. All right? But I am not without experience for this white menace. No. fallen terror, this frosty marauder. No, 4 years in the snowiest city in the country, Syracuse, New York. Then I moved to the Big Apple, New York City. Don't tell me I don't know what this is, man, because I do. It sucks. It's terrible. It's awful. It doesn't need to be in your life. You can move other places. You can live other places. Now, this is where everybody comes thundering in. This is where everybody comes thundering in. You know, you need to, I like the snow. Oh, it makes you hardened. Oh, it makes you a better person. It makes you a stronger person. Well, when I'm a hardier stock. That's what I am. Listen, man, you don't have to hurt anymore. You don't have to wear those big glasses to hide the pain that has been inflicted on you by this. Because I'll tell you what, as much as you want to defend your life choices, I'm not attacking you, I'm attacking your abuser. Your abuser is this snow. Because I'll guarantee you, as much as you want to talk about being a hardier kind of person, ain't nobody like scraping their goddamn windows every morning. Ain't nobody like having to sit in that frosty-ass car like you're a hanging piece of meat. Ain't nobody like to drive and steer into the skid, which always feels unnatural and weird. Nobody likes it. You can go other places. There are plenty of places for which snow is not a thing, but it's too hot. Tell you what, let me tell you something about the heat. Number one, you can always have air conditioning. Number two, act like half these cities ain't hot as shit during the goddamn summer, huh? You're gonna tell me straight into my face that New York City ain't steamy, sweaty, gross in the summer, huh? You're gonna tell me Chicago ain't steamy, sweaty, humid, gross in the summer? You're gonna tell me half these other places aren't just absolutely disgusting in the summer? Absolutely. So yeah, it's a few degrees hotter in the Floridas and Texases and Californias of the world, the Arizonas, the New Mexicos. But you're not going to deal with your persistent problem. You're not going to deal with your persistent menace. But I like the snow. I like to go skiing. I like to go snowboarding. Go visit. Go to visit. I'm not saying that snow in and of itself is the worst thing in the planet. Go visit it for a couple days. You want to know what I like? Tigers. I like to go visit. Look at a tiger. I ain't got to live with it. And if I was living with a bunch of tigers and periodically they mauled me, I wouldn't go to a straight face to somebody else who lived in a tigerless environment and say, I don't know, I just feel like I'm a lot stronger that I live amongst the feral beasts. Has the Man 18 says we all can't live in a Bay Area. It's fine. You don't need to. Plenty of other places. Plenty of other places that don't have snow. I'm just saying there's a better way. And the sooner you make your decision, the sooner you make your decision to leave your oppressive white environment, the better off you will be. You will be happier. You will be healthier. You will be wealthier. You will have the kind of clarity and vision that has been denied you by this persistent menace. Snow is awful. And if you perpetuate the stereotype that it is somehow a character-building exercise, then you, sir, are part of the problem. You can email this show at justinrobertyoung@gmail.com. Please put Cherry in the subject line. We got a couple following up from last week's episode. Kirill from Bulgaria. He wrote in talking about Bulgarian drinking festivals. and I asked him about casinos in Sofia. I was once at a casino in Sofia, and I got the distinct impression, based on the fact that I was probably 19 or 20 at the time, that I was being fleeced by this casino. It seemed to me like a crooked casino. So I asked Kirill, I asked him, hey, are these casinos in Sofia crooked? He writes back, I don't know much about the casinos in Bulgaria. I've never been to one, and I don't think anyone I know has. They are not a place where normal people go. I think they have a reputation for being owned by and a gathering place for members of organized crime and are used for money laundering. I'm going to take that one as a yes. So, jury pro tip, stay out of casinos in Sofia, Bulgaria. The more you know. Sean writes, Sean here again with a follow-up to my student debt email last week with some context. I went to school at the young age of 18, ignoring all the advice from my elders about how this was a horrible idea, but I thought I knew better than them, like any 18-year-old, and I decided to go anyway. The debt originally was $80,000, but with the interest rate of 27% and no way to make payments, it's now ballooned to $140,000 and will probably be a high-score debt by the time I die. I realize now what an idiot I was, but I can't seem to plot a way out of the situation. But for now, I just work to survive and warn everybody around me about the scam that is tech school. And by the way, Fritz owes me $100 because I went to Le Cordon Bleu and not the Art Institute. So Fritz, pay the man $100. He's in a lot of debt. Number two. All right, let's go ahead and make this a community exercise. Who listening to me right now is in the financial industry and can give Sean some basic advice as to how to deal with a high interest loan? Because in my mind, what I want to tell him is find a lower interest loan and transfer it. But I don't know how the machinations of that go. So let's see. What is the reach of this podcast? I know it can't all just be random glue sniffers like me. There's got to be smarter people out here listening to the random yammerings that I am putting all up in your ear hole. So if you can write in, please do that. JustinRobertYoung@gmail.com. Put jury in the subject line. Fox1E says, just go invest in the N-word. I'll tell you what, man. John says, impressions. By the way, man. Oh, God. I don't know what I opened up with this, like, tell me your first impressions thing. Because at the South by Southwest meetups, I had so many people come up and tell me their first impressions. And not all of them were flattering, as I had predicted. Including some that were, like, uncomfortably close. It was like, hey, last year you were a dick to me. And I'm like, oh, geez. No. I don't know if this was great for my self-esteem. They're like, oh, no, we love you now. But, like, you were an asshole to me 15 minutes ago. It's like, oh, geez, all right. I liked it better when it was, you know, years and years ago, and I could elaborately figure it out in my head why I was doing X, Y, and Z. John writes that his first impression of me was the fish stick sandwich burrito episode of NSFW, and he was 50-50 on me, honestly. He enjoyed Brian a little more when NSFW came to an end and he got into Night Attack. Episode 9, and went back and watched NSFW from the beginning. During that is when I came to love you. Then I listened to all the episodes of Jury, then PX3. Well, thank you, John. He goes on, though, to the $150,000 culinary dude. As an owner of a cupcake shop, I ask if maybe you just don't really want to do the culinary thing. I mean, we're paying a 19-year-old more than $4 an hour above minimum wage. She has a 401k, and we match funds. She's put away enough to buy a decent used car, and she's not even a baker. Our full-time, long-term employees, we pay 100% of their health premiums. I'm struggling to find anyone willing to be dedicated to bust their ass for us. Be creative and take the initiative to apply at some swanky places near your area. You're likely valued far more than you know. And by the way, man, that dude, you know, John is a cupcake magnate, man. They got it going on. In fact, Sean, if you are in the Iowa area, I will hook you up John's info. W. Scottus won. Now we got all the first impressions. W. Scottus won. Let me be real for a second. I hadn't seen you on Tech News Today, so when Tom Merritt announced you were becoming a contributor on DTNS, I questioned that choice. Understood. Fox 1E says, my first impression of PX3, where Justin sounded a little too neoconish for me. Now he's okay. And if I had the money, I'd donate to Patreon. And Max Trollbot says, I once masturbated thinking of Ira Sockman. Does that count? Just pretend I'm not here. Folks, you can email me, justinrobertyoung@gmail.com. Just do me a favor. Put jury in the subject line. I got an opinion that we're going to get a bunch of emails this week. So, I hope that people like to write in. Because this one was certainly one, although maybe not. Maybe, you mentioned race and all of a sudden, I need black people to write in is what I'm trying to worm my way around to. I need black people to write in. I need black people to write in and say whether or not this is the most racist thing I've ever said, or whether or not there is a dollar amount you can put on licensing the N-word. I think I've talked about this before, but licensing the N-word. You can license it to someone. Someone can have a badge on them that you can have levels, tiered levels. I'm curious. Go ahead and write it. JustinRobertYoung@gmail.com. Put jury in the subject line. Oh, I need to get O'Doctor. I'll call O'Doctor and I'll ask him about this. Is this the equivalent of asking your girlfriend if that tweet is okay? I don't know. I mean, I didn't ask anybody. At least I'm not hiding behind the fact that I asked a black person before I said it. I'm just saying it. So if anybody wants to call me a racist, that's fine. I'll own it. I mean, the context is all here. I don't think it's necessarily racist. Like, I think the term is racist. I'm just trying to make the best of a bad situation. Now, if that solution makes it worse, then I want to hear about it. I'm just musing and noodling. All right, I'll tell you what. Fox 1E says, I'm black, and you're not Richard Spencer, but you're not Richard Pryor either. You're like an Oreo, two hard black cookies with a creamy right middle. Ha ha, double entendre. We got to go out on that one. Ladies and gentlemen, again, one more time, JustinRobertYoung@gmail.com. Put Cherry in the subject line. Twitter and Instagram, Justin R. Young. Snapchat me, @JustinRYoung. Just tell me, just yes or no, am I a racist on Snapchat? Yes or no, am I a racist on Snapchat? Just do me a favor, Justin R. Young. Of course, hashtag join the conversation @diamondclub.reddit.com. If you are listening to this on iTunes, please give us a rating and a review. Subscribe if you have not already. It helps the show tremendously. And if you enjoy this, please check out Politics, Politics, Politics. It is my political show where I talk about political things. Folks, until next time, this is your old pal Justin Robert Young reminding you to please. You think you
hopes you have enjoyed this program.